Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Hey there.
Today we're tackling what I think is a really crucial question. What exactly does nicotine do to our blood vessels?
Yeah, that's a big one.
We've got a detailed scientific study here that really digs into it, you know, microscopically, looking at experiments, results.
Right.
Our mission really is to pull out the key insights, understand nicotine's impact on vascular health, and importantly, why you should care.
And what's really significant, I think, is that this study isn't just looking at the big picture. It's zooming right in on the tiny blood vessels, the microcirculation.
Okay.
These are basically the workhorses delivering oxygen, nutrients, everything, everywhere in your body.
Yep.
So if they're not working right, well, that can cause all sorts of problems.
Exactly. And it feels especially relevant now, doesn't it? You hear so much about alternative nicotine products being, you know, safer than cigarettes.
That whole debate, yeah.
But some research is starting to hint that, well, maybe nicotine itself isn't so harmless for our blood vessels.
Mm-hmm. And the study definitely adds fuel to that fire. It gets right down to the cellular level.
How so?
It looks at how nicotine affects a really key signaling molecule called cyclic adenosine monophosphate, or CAMMP.
CAMMP.
Yeah. Think of CAMMP like an internal message telling the muscle cells in your blood vessel walls, the vascular smooth muscle cells, or VSM, what to do. Relax, contract.
Got it.
And this study specifically looks at how nicotine messes with those messages.
Okay, so the researchers must have had a specific theory, right? What was their main hypothesis?
Well, their central idea, their hunch, was that nicotine gums up the works for how these VSM cells respond to signals that normally boost CAMP.
Okay.
Specifically, they focused on something called beta adrenergic signaling. You have these receptors, these little docking stations on the muscle cell.
Beta adrenergic receptors.
Right. When things like adrenaline dock there, it usually ramps up CAMP production, and that helps the blood vessels relax. The study basically proposed that nicotine throws a wrench into that whole process, impairs it.
So how did they actually test that? I see they started by looking at secondhand smoke exposure.
That's right. They wanted to mimic, you know, a real world kind of exposure. So they had mice breathing in secondhand smoke for quite a while, 12 weeks.
12 weeks, okay. And then they look at the muscle cells from those mice.
Exactly. They isolated the vascular smooth muscle cells.
And compared to mice that weren't exposed, what did they find?
It was pretty telling. The VSM cells from the mice exposed to smoke produced much less CAMP when they were stimulated.
Stimulated with what?
With something called isoproterenol, or ISO. It basically mimics adrenaline, hits those beta adrenergic receptors, tells them to make CAMP.
Oh, okay.
So in the smoke exposed mice, that make CAMP signal resulted in a weaker response. Much weaker.
So less response means less of that relaxed signal getting through.
Precisely.
And this finding wasn't totally out of the blue, was it?
No, it lined up nicely with some earlier work. Other researchers had found similar drops in CAMP in like lung cells exposed to cigarette smoke.
Hmm.
So it suggests a pattern.
Okay, but secondhand smoke. That's a whole soup of chemicals, right? How did they zoom in on nicotine?
Good question. That's the next really clever step. To isolate nicotine's effect, they took VSM cells grown in a dish in the lab.
Cultured cells.
Right. And they just treated them directly with nicotine for 48 hours, a specific concentration, 100 nanomolar.
And did nicotine alone do the same thing?
Yes, it did. Even without all the other stuff in smoke, just the nicotine was enough to significantly reduce how much CAMMP those cells made when hit with ISO.
Hmm. So that really points the finger at nicotine itself being a key disruptor here.
He strongly suggests it, yeah.
Now, to get an even clearer picture, maybe more like what happens in a living system, they used a pretty sophisticated tool, this CAMPRSM mouse. What's the story there?
Right. This is where it gets really interesting scientifically. They actually engineered a special mouse line, the CAMPRSM mouse.
Engineered how?
These mice have a built-in sensor, a CAMMP biosensor, that's specifically active only in their vascular smooth muscle cells. Yeah. Think of it like having tiny little reporters inside the blood vessel walls that literally light up or change color depending on the CAMP levels.
So they could watch CAMP activity live inside an artery.
Pretty much, in intact arteries. It's a fantastic tool for seeing these signals in real time in a more natural context than just cells in a dish.
Did they check if the sensor worked properly?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They took arteries from these CAMPRSM mice and treated them with things known to boost CAMP ISO again, and also Forskolin plus IBMX, which directly stimulates CAMP production and stops its breakdown.
Yeah.
And the arteries responded just as expected. The sensor lit up, showing increased CAMP. So the model was validated. It worked.
OK, Okay, sensor validated. So then what happened when they actually gave nicotine to these special mice?
Right, the main experiment. They used tiny osmotic mini pumps, surgically implanted, to deliver a steady, low dose of nicotine for 7 days straight.
A constant infusion.
Exactly. 6 mg/kg/day. They even measured the blood nicotine levels, which averaged around 8 ng/mL, kind of in the range of what you might see in a human using nicotine products.
Okay, so a controlled, relevant dose. And then they looked at the arteries again using that live imaging.
Yep. They took segments of the aorta, the big artery from the heart, from these nicotine-infused mice and the control mice, and they use a technique called FRET imaging.
FRET.
It just is a specific way to measure the signal from that biosensor to see those CMP levels changing very precisely in the living tissue.
And the result?
The result was clear. The nicotine infusion significantly dampened, reduced the amount of CAMP produced in the VSM cells within those intact arteries when they were stimulated with ISO.
Wow. So the same effect they saw in cultured cells and hinted at with smoke exposure, it was happening in live arteries with direct controlled nicotine exposure.
Exactly. It really solidified the finding.
Okay, so nicotine lowers CAMP in vascular smooth muscle. But the study went further, right? They tried to figure out how. Mm-hmm. What's the mechanism?
Right. If nicotine is lowering CAMP, how is it doing it? The researchers turned their attention to enzymes called phosphodiesterases, PDEs.
PDEs. Those are the enzymes that break down CAMP, right? Like the cleanup crew.
That's a perfect analogy. They degrade CAMP. So if they become more active, CMP levels naturally go down.
And did they look at specific PDEs?
Yes. Based on some previous hints from cigarette smoke studies in lung cells, they focused on two main types, PDE3 and PDE4.
Okay, PDE3 and PDE4. How did they test their involvement?
They used specific drugs that act as inhibitors blockers for these enzymes. Rolaprim blocks PDE4 and cilostamide blocks PDE3.
And what happened when they used these blockers on normal arteries from the control mice?
Interesting thing in the control arteries, blocking either PDE3 or PDE4 actually caused an increase in the amount of CAMP made in response to ISO.
Ah, so that suggests both PDE3 and PDE4 are normally active, sort of keeping a lid on CAMP levels.
Precisely. They're part of the normal regulation.
But the crucial experiment must have been using these blockers in the arteries from the nicotine-exposed mice.
Exactly. And here's the key finding. When they blocked either PDE3 or PDE4 in those nicotine-exposed arteries, it basically prevented nicotine from reducing the CAMP production. The level stayed higher, closer to normal.
It stopped the nicotine effect.
It largely stopped it, yeah. But this was a major clue. It strongly suggests that nicotine's dampening effect on CAMP involves making these PDE cleanup enzymes, particularly PDE3 and PDE4, work overtime somehow.
Okay, that's a potential mechanism. Nicotine makes the CAMP cleanup crew hyperactive.
Yeah.
But what does that actually do to the blood vessel? What's the functional consequence?
Right. Does this molecular change actually matter for how the blood vessel behaves? This brings us to vasodilation, the ability of the vessel to relax and widen.
How blood flow is regulated.
Exactly. They use the technique called wire myography. You basically take tiny rings of the aorta.
Like little donuts of artery.
Huh, yeah, exactly. You mount them on tiny wires, make them contract with a substance, and then see how well they relax when you add ISO, that relaxation signal.
Okay. And what did they see when comparing the nicotine mice arteries to the control ones?
The aortic rings from the mice that got nicotine just didn't relax as well in response to ISO.
They were stiffer, less responsive.
Less responsive is a good way to put it. You needed a higher dose of ISO to get the same amount of relaxation compared to the control rings. The whole dose response curve shifted. It clearly showed impaired relaxation.
So the molecular change lower CAMP translated directly into weaker relaxation.
Yeah.
The signal wasn't getting through effectively.
That's the connection they made.
Now, what about those PDE blockers again? Did using them in this setup, the relaxation experiment, have an effect?
Yes, and this is where it gets even more specific. First, they checked how the inhibitors affected contraction itself, using a drug called phenylephrin, or PE, to make the rings tighten up.
Mm-hmm.
Blocking PDE4, Rolaprim, reduced contraction in the control arteries, but interestingly, didn't do much in the nicotine-treated ones. But blocking PDE3, cilostamide, reduced contraction in both groups.
Hmm, a subtle difference there. But what about the main event relaxing in response to ISO when the blockers were present?
This was the really striking part. When they added the PDE3 blocker, cilostamide, to the aortic rings from the nicotine-exposed mice, it completely restored their ability to relax in response to ISO.
Completely. back to normal levels.
Back to the level seen in the control mice, it basically erased the negative effect of the nicotine on relaxation.
Wow. What about the PDE4 blocker?
The PDE4 blocker, Roluprim, showed maybe a little bit of improvement, but it definitely didn't fully rescue the relaxation like the PDE3 blocker did.
So that really singles out PDE3, doesn't it, as the main pathway nicotine is using to mess with relaxation?
It strongly points to PDE3 as the main functional mediator, the main culprit in how nicotine impairs the specific type of blood vessel relaxation.
Okay, let's try to pull this all together. Stepping back, what are the big sort of headlines from this research?
Well, the main points are pretty clear now. Nicotine, whether it's from secondhand smoke or direct exposure like vaping or patches, it definitely seems to impair this critical CAMMP signaling pathway in the muscle cells of blood vessels.
The vascular smooth muscle cells.
Right. And this impairment leads to a reduced ability of those vessels to relax properly, particularly in response to those beta adrenergic signals. And crucially, this negative effect seems to be largely driven by nicotine causing an increase in the activity of the PDE3 enzyme.
And how might this help explain the known links between, you know, using nicotine products and having higher risks for heart attacks, strokes, that sort of thing?
Well, think about it. If your blood vessels can't relax properly when they need to, say, during stress or exercise, that can contribute to problems like higher blood pressure, maybe stiffer arteries over time.
Makes sense.
These are major risk factors for cardiovascular disease. So this study provides a plausible biological mechanism down at the cellular level for why nicotine use is associated with those increased risks.
You also mentioned it could have relevance beyond just nicotine effects, maybe for understanding high blood pressure itself.
Absolutely. I mean, CMP signaling and the balance of PDE activity are fundamental to how blood vessels regulate their tone constriction versus relaxation. So understanding how this pathway works and how it can be disrupted could give us insights into conditions like hypertension, where that regulation goes wrong.
Now, the study did mention that some previous research had slightly different results, suggesting nicotine might increase contraction sometimes.
Yes, and it's important science acknowledges that. They pointed out that results can vary depending on, you know, the experimental setup. How was the nicotine given? Was it inhaled smoke, quick injection, or a slow infusion like in this study? What was the dose? How long was the exposure?
Lots of variables.
Exactly. Even potential differences between male and female subjects could play a role. So context matters when comparing studies.
And did they offer any specific ideas about how nicotine might be boosting that PDE3 activity? What's happening upstream?
They floated a few potential mechanisms, yeah. One idea involves calcium. Nicotine might increase calcium levels inside the VSM cells, maybe by affecting ion channels. And higher calcium might indirectly lead to lower levels of another signaling molecule called CGMP. Now, CGMP normally puts the brakes on PDE3. So if CGMP goes down, the brakes come off PDE3 and it gets more active.
Oh, like a domino effect.
Sort of. Another possibility is that nicotine might interfere with nitric oxide signaling. Nitric oxide normally boosts CGMP. So less nitric oxide signaling could also mean less CGMP, again releasing the brakes on PDE3.
Interesting. Any other ideas?
They also mentioned the possibility of nicotine directly activating certain receptors, nicotinic acetylcholine receptors, that might exist on the smooth muscle cells themselves, leading to calcium coming into the cell and kicking off that cascade. So several potential pathways leading to that increased PDE3 activity.
And it's worth remembering, right, that this CAMP signal isn't just about relaxation.
Oh, definitely not. That's a really important point. CMP in vascular smooth muscle cells is also involved in controlling things like cell growth, proliferation, migration. Basically, the processes that affect the structure and stability of the artery wall itself.
So messing with CMP could have wider effects than just vessel tone.
For sure. Disrupting it could potentially contribute to things like vessel wall thickening or instability in the long run. They even noted other research linking lower CAMP levels to things like increased risk of aneurysm formation or finding that genetic mutations making PDE3 overactive can actually cause certain forms of hypertension.
So it really underscores how central this pathway is to vascular health.
Absolutely.
Okay, so for you, the listener, trying to wrap your head around all this detail, what's the core message to take away from this deep dive?
I think the key takeaway is pretty straightforward. Nicotine, however you encounter it, direct use, vaping, patches, even secondhand smoke, it looks like it can negatively affect how well your blood vessels relax.
By interfering with those internal signals.
Exactly. It messes with these fundamental CAMP signals inside the muscle cells, and it seems like a specific enzyme, PDE3, plays a really big role in mediating that negative effect.
And this gives us a clearer biological picture of why nicotine use in general is linked to increased cardiovascular risk.
Precisely. It helps connect the dots between using nicotine and potential downstream problems like high blood pressure or other vascular issues by showing us one specific mechanism at work.
All right. And finally, as we always do, what's a sort of provocative thought or question this research leaves us with? Something to chew on.
Well, here's something interesting. We already have drugs, medications called PDE3 inhibitors. They're actually used clinically for certain heart conditions, like heart failure or problems with blood flow in the legs.
Yeah.
So given this study showing that inhibiting PDE3 reversed the negative effects of nicotine on blood vessel relaxation, it does make you wonder, doesn't it? Could future research possibly explore whether these existing PDE3 inhibitors might have a role in counteracting some of nicotine's harmful vascular effects? Using them therapeutically against nicotine damage.
It's just a thought, a question raised by the research. Could there be a potential therapeutic angle there down the line? It certainly opens up an interesting avenue for future investigation.